You're listening to audio from Calvary Baptist Church of Port Austin. If you'd like to check out more resources or learn more about us, please visit cbcportaustin.org.
Well, today we come to the final sermon in our series in Advent. And week one, we saw joy lost. Week two, joy promised. And now the moment we've all been waiting for, joy delivered. But to appreciate kind of where we're going today, I think it'd be helpful to review where we've been. And so we're going to kind of just review a little bit and look first of all at joy lost. In that first sermon, we looked at Genesis 1 through 3, and we learned that joy actually originated in the heart of God. That he really, by creating, that was an overflow of the joy that he had experienced, the fullness that he in his triunity had experienced with the Son and the Holy Spirit and the three in one overflowed onto the canvas of creation. And that really, God created this incredible garden paradise for the first humans to live in, and there was insane amounts of joy. And sometimes there's a view today that God is like a cosmic killjoy, but that just does not fit with what we see in the Bible. He created joy, he created pleasure, he created happiness, and he created us with the ability to experience these things. But tragically, in that first sermon, we saw that Adam and Eve believed a lie. In a world full of yeses, they believed that this one no was holding them back. That one tree with that one fruit was holding them back from joy and purpose and identity and all the things that the serpent lied to them about. And unfortunately, they rebelled against God. They ushered sin and death into the world. And on that day, joy was lost. And the principle we walked away with in that first sermon was this: joy is always lost when we depart from God's design. And see, now every human being that's born on this earth is born as a sinner, separated from God. And we're born into this world really with this God-sized void in our life that only He can fill. And we're going to be left searching. We're going to be left empty. We're going to be left wondering, where can I grab hold of true and lasting joy? Because we can still hear in our hearts the echoes of Eden. When there was a garden paradise, when we were in the presence of God. And Ecclesiastes says that eternity is in our hearts. God has put eternity in our hearts. And we know there's something more. And there's something about this Christmas season when we talk about magic and wonder and beauty and glory. Like, those are words that we have to grab a hold of during the season to capture what's happening. Even those of you who maybe aren't believers, who aren't Christians, who would consider yourself secular, you know in your heart of hearts there has to be something more. And that's because there was something more in the garden when God created us. There was perfection, there was joy, there was peace, there was love, there was harmony. But all of that was fractured when mankind chose to rebel against God. And that same thing happens today. Anytime you go against what God has clearly laid out in His Word, it only leads to brokenness. And you know, some of you, you're thinking right now, if I just had this, whatever that is, you fill it in. Can I just say that one of the worst things that could ever happen to you is for you to get the deepest desires of your heart. And sometimes God loves you too much to let you go after those false promises of joy. And that's really what we saw in the last message. First, it was joy lost. Then we looked at joy promised, because we said, even in the darkness of the fall, there was this amazing little glimmer of light where God said, hey, I'm going to send an offspring from the woman who's going to come, and he is going to crush the serpent's head. And we saw this promise in that last sermon, and we traced it through the Old Testament, and we saw that God is not in a hurry. We said He took 4,000 years to fulfill this promise, and it's in the waiting where we can really be tempted to go after counterfeit promises of false joy. And the principle from that sermon was simply this: joy in the present is directly dependent on the promises we believe. And then here, we're finally here to joy delivered. Joy delivered. Today, what I want to do is I want to finally celebrate that Christmas when joy was delivered. We've been kind of using the theme of a package, and I said that really the idea for this series came from an Amazon catalog that I got in the mail that just said joy delivered. And I said, Amazon, you can't deliver joy with your things, but I know who did deliver joy on Christmas, and that was God. And we're going to read about that in Luke 2. We just read Luke 2, 1 through 7 in our scripture reading. We're going to pick up here in verse 8 and read through 11. It says this. I want you to think about all the promises that we talked about in the last message. And if you weren't here, that's okay. It was just lots and lots of promises. In fact, over 300 promises were fulfilled in the coming and life of Jesus. Now picture the anticipation of the people of God as they were waiting for this Messiah to come. And in verse 8 of Luke 2, it says this, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear." I mean, you think about it, you're just doing your thing, you're a shepherd, it's dark, you're just out there hanging out, you know, pretty much your work for the day you think is over, you're kind of keeping an eye on things, but all of a sudden this angel appears, and all of a sudden this glory just fills the air, and there's light, and verse 10, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Notice this was a message with good news of great joy. And what was this joy? The fact that a child was born who is Christ the Lord. You see, after years of waiting, God sent his Son into the world, and on that day, true joy was delivered. Here we see that joy is not a circumstance. Joy is not a location. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is not a situation or a thing. Joy is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Galatians 4 puts his coming this way, "But when the fullness of time had come," right? It's there, we're here. It's just the right point in history. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. I love how John 1:14 says this, "And the Word, the eternal Word of God, Jesus Christ, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, what we see in the Bible is that there is joy in the garden. But after they rebel against God, they're cast out of God's presence. They're cast out of his garden sanctuary, and they're left to wander east of Eden. And there's this feeling of absence because they're no longer in God's presence, because he can't have sin in his presence. He's a holy and just God. And what you see is throughout the Bible, God slowly reintroducing his presence among his people. We see it in the tabernacle. They set up this tabernacle, and it's a very elaborate thing, and people are allowed to come and offer sacrifices to kind of see forgiveness. And it says that God is dwelling with them in that tabernacle, and then that kind of comes to its fruition in the temple when a temple is built, and the glory of the Lord fills the temple, and it's just this amazing celebration that God would dwell among us in his temple. But then we get to John 1, and when it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Greek word there is he tabernacled among us. The presence of God is here in the person of Jesus Christ. Joy was delivered on Christmas Day. And here's the amazing reality. Even though Jesus came, he lived the perfect life we could never live. He died on the cross. He rose again, triumphantly, and then he ascended. And what he did when he ascended is he sent his Spirit to indwell his people, the church. And now the presence of God is among the church. We are the new temple of God. It's just an amazing theme that we see. That's why Emmanuel, God with us, that's when joy was delivered. Last week, we talked about some counterfeit gods. The God of power, constantly looking for power to satisfy, or the God of control, constantly wanting to be in control, to make sure your situation is exactly how you want it, the God of approval. And I said that if your God is approval, you're constantly going to be enslaved to what people think of you. And then the God of comfort. And what I said last week is these gods never deliver on their promises. To quote Tim Keller again, he said, "Counterfeit gods always disappoint and often destroy. But God delivers on his promises." And this is the message that I want you to walk away with for today and for this entire series. True and lasting joy is only found in Jesus. If you look for joy in any other person, circumstance, situation, or thing, you will always be left empty and searching. True and lasting joy is only found in Jesus. But here's the thing. Even though God delivered on his promise and brought joy to the world in the person of Jesus Christ, there's still a lot of promises left in the Bible. And we just talked about Jesus came, he lived the perfect life, he died on the cross for our sins, and at the cross, he dealt the death blow to the serpent. That promise in Genesis 3 where it said it's going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush the serpent's head. At the cross, the heel of Jesus was stricken, right? He was bruised, he was put into a tomb, he died, he took our sins, but at the cross, the serpent's head was crushed. And Satan has been bleeding out ever since. It was a death blow. He crushed the serpent's head on the cross. But when we look around, sin is still present. Brokenness is still the best description of the world we live in. And we still experience pain and sickness and disease and even our own struggle with sin. And so even though Jesus resurrected and he became the first fruits of this new creation that's coming, we're still living on the old earth. And so, how do we take a statement like this? True and lasting joy is only found in Jesus. And how do we actually like bring that down to the ground? Right? How do we live that out in a broken world? And there are many weapons we can use in this fight for joy. I've actually preached several sermons on this, just different weapons we can use. But today I want to share with you three truths that I share all the time. I call them oxygen truths. They're not original with me, but they're just so powerful. And I think the Christmas story really highlights them for us. When you're tempted to believe that true and lasting joy is maybe somewhere else besides Jesus, remember these three truths: the character of God, the cross of Christ, and the coming glory. So let's look first, really quickly, the character of God. In the character of God, we're talking about who he is. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to think about God's character displayed through the Christmas story. We see he's faithful to his promises, right? Even though it took a long time, he fulfilled his promises to his people in the Old Testament and to us. We know that he's faithful, but we also know he's trustworthy, right? We can trust this God because when he makes a promise, you can bank on it. Not only that, we see he's loving, that even though in the garden mankind rebelled and chose sin instead of God, he loved us enough to pursue us in our brokenness, to run after us. He is a loving God, but not only that, he's holy and just. Earlier, I talked about them getting cast out of God's presence, but that's because God is holy and just. He can't allow sin in his presence, but his love and his justice and holiness are together in such a way that he pursued us and made a way for us to be brought into his presence again. Not only that, he is wise. My wife and I were talking about his character yesterday in the car, and we talked about at Christmas especially. You just would have never expected God's solution to the problem of this world to be the most vulnerable thing in the world, an infant baby. Like, you would never think this is the deliverer, this is the way it's going to be done, this is how it's all going to be fixed, through this little baby in a manger. And what it shows is that the wisdom of man is really the foolishness of God. And he is infinitely wise. And he does things in such a way that we wouldn't always expect. And so in the middle of your trial or whatever you may be going through, and you think, this is the way out, it would be better if this would just happen, you can trust the character of God that it might not come in the way you expect it, but he will deliver you. And not only that, he is sovereign. He orchestrated history in such a way so that Galatians 4 can say, when the fullness of time had come, when it was exactly the right time in history, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. What an amazing truth. And so when you look at this statement, okay, only Jesus can bring true and lasting joy, how do I bring that to the ground? First of all, remember the character of God. Remember that all of his promises were made in the Old Testament, were fulfilled at Christmas, and there's more coming for us, and that you can trust him no matter what you're going through. Secondly, the cross of Christ. So if the character of God is who he is, the cross of Christ is what he has done. In Romans 8:32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You see, Christmas is ultimately about the cross. And in between this already but not yet, this where we're here and the promises have been fulfilled, but there's more coming in that already but not yet time, we can look back at the cross and we can remember that already, right now, your sins are forgiven if you're a child of God. Right now, you have the righteousness of Christ. Right now, you have a new identity. Right now, you are a child of the King. Right now, you have a promised eternal home in heaven. Right now, the curse has been reversed. We're heading towards a new creation. Right now, death has been defeated. And right now, currently, Satan is bleeding out. And there's so much more that God accomplished at the cross. And so when you're tempted to despair, like the hymn writer said, and Satan tempts you to despair and reminds you of that guilt within, upward you look and see him there who made an end to all your sin. The cross brings joy like few things ever do. When you're going through a trial, how do I bring this down? Well, first of all, I want to meditate on the character of God. Next, I want to meditate on the cross of Christ and what was accomplished there. Well, there's one more truth that I call an oxygen truth, and that's the coming glory. In Romans 8:18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Amazing truth. I say this all the time, but it's just such a good quote, that when we get to heaven, when we get to that new creation, all the sufferings of this life are going to be like one night in a bad hotel. I love the catechism that we go through, the New City Catechism, and question 52 says this: what hope does everlasting life hold for us? Listen to this answer. It reminds us that this present fallen world is not all there is. Soon, we will live with and enjoy God forever in the new city, in the new heaven and the new earth, where we will be fully and forever free from all sin and will inhabit renewed resurrection bodies in a renewed, restored creation. Man, talk about joy delivered. Like, that is what's coming for us. That is joy fulfilled in its fullest sense. In Revelation 21, we see this, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Right here, what we see is that in the beginning, the serpent tempted us. We were cast out of the garden. God sent his son Jesus to kill the serpent, who we see in Revelation is also called the dragon. Okay, so Jesus comes to kill the dragon and to get the girl, his bride, us, the church. And one day, he is going to bring us back to the garden where we're in his presence again. And he is our God and we are his people. And verse 4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." Verse 5, "And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new." When you're tempted to be discouraged, when you hear a sentence like that, only Jesus is true and lasting joy, you're like, but what does that look like on the ground? Remember the coming glory. Remember what's coming for you because of what Jesus has accomplished on your behalf. The character of God, the cross of Christ, and the coming glory. I think those are three truths that if you can write those down somewhere, memorize them, meditate on them, put different verses in those three categories to just have as weapons to fight for your joy. I think you can take that sentence, only Jesus can bring true and lasting joy, and you can live that out in your life. And so that's what I want you to walk away with today. True and lasting joy is only found in Jesus. Christmas is a story of joy lost, joy promised, and joy delivered. And one day, as we just saw, we see joy fulfilled. So look to Jesus for your joy. The counterfeit gods of power, control, comfort, and approval will never deliver on their promises. But God always delivers on his promise. And I can't close this message without saying, if you're here and you're watching for the very first time maybe, and you're hearing about all this joy that Jesus offers, and you don't even really know what we're talking about fully, let me just say this, that the Bible says that God made you. He made you to be in a relationship with him, to love him and to love others, to display his character to the world around us. But the Bible also says that we are sinners by nature because of what Adam and Eve did. We were born into this world as sinners, and we participate in that sin each and every day. But the Christmas story is a story of God rescuing and redeeming his people. And if you're here today and you believe that Jesus came, like the Bible says, you believe that he lived a life you could never live, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again triumphantly. And the Bible says, if you will put your faith in him, if you'll simply trust him, simply believe, simply call out and ask him to save you, he will. He'll bring you into a relationship with himself. Joy will be delivered on this day for you, and one day it will be fulfilled. But for the rest of us who are watching, I want to leave you with this message. Only Jesus can bring true and lasting joy. Meditate on that. Remember that. That's the sentence for this whole series. Only Jesus can bring true and lasting joy.